have booze and I mean, I guess that's really all I need. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And for booze, I am drinking a red wine tonight. I am drinking Gato Negro, a Carmenere from Chile, 2017. It is robust and fruity.
You're robust.
Well, both of those things are true.
I know. If only I were more robust.
James, what are you drinking?
A sociable cider works fat bike mulled apple.
Oh.
Which I haven't had before, so I am slightly hopeful about it.
Oh.
They make good cider.
They do.
I enjoy it, but I'm chasing the dragon of a beverage that I can no longer purchase stateside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds shady as fuck. I want to know more about that.
When I was in college,
he's talked about it before, hasn't he?
Yeah, when I was in college, I used to buy these black bottles with a big red letter K on them.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
The black spot.
They were the black spot. But I enjoyed it. It was the perfect blend of, like, smoke, sweetness, and dryness. And I just haven't been able to find anything that's close enough to it. But,
that's fair.
You know, it's a terrible problem to have to keep looking.
Indeed.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm drinking.
Cool.
It looks like milk. It does look like milk, but I put blackberry liqueur and some creme de cacao in it. I'd call it a berries and cream, but it's only blackberry, and there's also chocolate, so I don't know.
Huh.
It tastes real good, though. I'm very happy with my mixology.
So it's...
Yeah.
It's creme de cacao and blackberry...
Blackberry liqueur.
And that's it. Just those two ingredients.
And there's a splash of Jim Beam vanilla.
Oh.
Yeah.
So just those three ingredients? Really?
Well, and the milk, yeah.
Oh, and milk. Oh, it is milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it almond milk?
It is almond milk.
Okay.
Okay.
We skipped that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we established, like, at the beginning, it is milk and these other things, but...
No, I don't think we established that very established at all.
It looks like milk.
Okay. Allow me to establish. The ingredients in this are... almond milk, blackberry liqueur, creme de cacao, and just a splash of Jim Beam vanilla.
Cool.
Bing.
All right.
So I don't know what that's called, but I like it.
Let me see. So it's got chocolate and vanilla and blackberry.
Right? It sounds like a dessert.
It does.
It's a chocolate quarrenberry. patent pending.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go tasty. It's a tasty.
It's a tasty with two e's.
It's a tasty. A tasty.
Tasty.
Tastini.
No, it's not in a cocktail glass, James.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Nor does it contain vodka.
No, it doesn't. God damn it.
So, what I have been up to is...
I'm glad we asked.
What
have you been up to?
We haven't been moving forward,
there
so I figured I would do it. still working on that back patio. Like I said, the French drain is all done. Still working on the back patio. All of the rocks are in. Now I need to start putting in the sand. And once the sand is in, then I can put down the pavers and I'm done. So, so close. But I also, I made a compost sifter today. So honest home inspections, which we've talked about in the past, they have been doing videos, throughout this, the quarantine about various, home improvement projects and things you can do around the house, you know.
Sure.
And one of the videos they put out a couple days ago was for how to make a compost sifter. And it just basically was like, here's how you do it. And this is, you know, here's how you sift out the compost. Here's how you sterilize the compost. You know, here's how you use it and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, hey, we have a compost pile in our backyard that we hardly ever use. We've been doing some gardening. I should do that. And so I did. I made a compost sifter, and I sifted, like, 4 gallons of just beautiful black compost dirt today. It's so pretty. So, super, super happy about that. Yeah, it's coming together. You know what's not coming together, though? You know, a couple weeks ago when Eric Thompson, curse the French, he was talking about that diamond art place website.
Yeah.
So he ordered some stuff, and then I ordered some stuff. We are still waiting. Like, even though we both got a little bring in our email saying your order has shipped. But when you click on the tracking link, it's like we don't have a record of that. And the website is now gone.
Oh.
So, yeah. We may have just been verschnuckered on that one.
That happened to me recently also.
So, although Eric did, just really quick, James, Eric did say that he did some searching, and apparently this is like a reseller site, and they are known to sometimes take a month and a half to send stuff out.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, at this point, it looks like we may have just been for schnookered and we're out, you know, $15 in my case. But in a month, if they magically show up, bonus, you know. But in the meantime, even though, I mean, you can't because the website is gone, but don't use Diamond Art House.
Don't use the website that you can't use.
Yeah.
Got it.
You can't get to it.
I am.
Don't use it.
I am genuinely sorry if any of our listeners did, on our recommendation, go there and try to order something and are in the same boat as us. If that happened, I am genuinely sorry that we led you all astray on that.
Yeah.
Let us know, and we will give you a personal apology.
Salsa will give you a personal apology.
No, we all promoted this. Salsa's just the only other sucker.
Yeah, so that sucks.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry, James, you were saying that happened to you once?
Oh, yeah. Very recently, I saw a pair of really kick-ass boots on an ad and clicked on it and went through, shopped it out, and then immediately something didn't seem right, so I went to check on it and then thought a second time to Google the name of the company and the word scam before anything else, and saw some really miserable reviews, a lot of 1-star and 2-star things, like didn't get the product at all, it was always in the middle of shipping, 2 months later didn't see it, fighting to get my money back before the 90 days is up, all of that stuff. Somebody said I did get the product but it was the wrong thing. Someone else said I got the product and they're garbage. Like, it's I
was almost had that same thing happen to me actually recently as well. I've talked about the great bidet shopping extravaganza that I have been going under, where I will order one, and then a few days later my money will be returned because they're out, I guess. And this has happened a few times, but I found one website popped up, and I was like, ooh, look, they're reasonably priced and blah, blah, blah. But they started asking about my credit card before they had my address.
Oh.
And I went, red flag. Red flag.
Yeah.
It's like you you kind of need my address to know, like, shipping and stuff before you start getting my credit card information. And so I kind of backed away from the computer on that one. And I feel like that my instincts served me pretty well on that one. So means I still don't have a bidet, but whatever.
Well, when I went to PayPal to arbitrate, you know, a dispute, because I hadn't heard back from their customer service for weeks, because I asked them a question about the order, I finally got an email back from them. They sent me a tracking number for it. That tracking number was for something completely different, and all of the interactions that I had with them, every time I looked them up through PayPal or referred to them, they had a different company email and like a different company name attached to it. So they went from being Mophie Look to being Rocket Products to being such and such bookstore to being, you know, and at some point I just, in a chat with PayPal, I was like, hey, doesn't this seem a little fucking weird to you that every time we go to connect with them it shows a different vendor? Is that not weird to you?
Is this causing flags for you as well?
Yeah.
Dear payment professionals.
Yeah. Well, and I thought that I was being real safe about it, because instead of buying it through Facebook, lesson learned, I had gone to an actual website, but it just shows it pays for me to do my research before.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing, is the sheer volume of shit out there means no matter how careful you are, eventually you'll fall into something like that. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear my story about a shady car dealer?
Do it.
Yes.
Oh. So I purchased a car. And I got the car. And title transfer and all the rest of that was fine. But the thing is, it was a used car salesman giving a bad name to all those other used car salesmen out there. He sold me this car, got the title, got everything else, but he was supposed to have new plates sent to me.
Oh.
And the new plates never arrived. So I got a ticket for having bad plates or expired whatever tab something or other, and I went in to the DMV the next day. Like, this happened within a week of the yellow papers being expired, right? So I went into the DMV in that area, and they went, "Oh, him."
Oh.
I'm like, oh. And they're like, you know what? We're just going to give you these plates.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay. They're like, we'll have a conversation with him. I'm like, Jesus Christ. All right. So I get the plates, and then I go to, I went to court over this to fight the ticket. Because I'm like, I'm supposed to do it. So I explained the case to this guy, and he was like, wait, does this guy operate out of Plymouth? And I'm like, yes. He's like, yeah, I think I've heard of him. I'm like, holy fuck.
The court rules in your favor.
Yep.
Yeah. He was just like, you got the plates? I'm like, yeah, I got the plates. He's like, fine, whatever. And like, tore it up. But like, the fact that this guy was known not only at the DMV closest to his location, but also in fucking Newport.
Yeah.
where I went to fight that ticket. Like, it was impressive, this guy. So, yeah.
Jeez.
But that was my favorite. I go in all, like, nervous because, like, you know, court thing. And fighting a ticket, like, it's not like a real court. You just go talk to, like, somebody about the situation. It's I think it's a lawyer or a court appointed blah blah blah, like, yeah, you know, small civil whatever. So you just go in and have a conversation. I've done this twice now. And like, yeah, he was just like, wait, this guy's from Plymouth? I'm like, yeah. It's like, yeah, I've heard of him. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, south of St. Paul's suburb. Fucking what? So, yeah. That was my adventure in shitty. It was a good car. Ran for a while. It was worth the price that I paid for it. So, right. You know. It wasn't much, but
well,
it was
at least that's
worth
good.
The price that I paid for it. Yeah. Got me around until I could get another vehicle.
Meh. Yeah.
So. No, I am reminded of getting a recruiting call that set off a red flag like that, where I was talking to somebody who I was like, okay, well, just we're really eager to get you into this job, so go ahead and answer the email. I just sent you an email. I need you to answer it. And I was like, cool, all right, well, I'll take care of that. It's going to be, you know, an hour or so because I have this other stuff to take care of. And he's like, well, I really need this information back so that I can respond to them right away. He started out pretty reasonable, and I was like, okay, great, well, I will do that before I do these things. He's like, can you do that while you're on the phone? And I was like, not as easily. Well, okay, can you check and make sure that you've gotten it? And like, his increasing sense of urgency made me concerned, and I was like, well, is there a reason that you're pushing this so hard? And he's like, oh, I just this opportunity, I don't know how long it's going to be open, and I know that they have other candidates, and I'm really, really looking to get you in there. And I was like, what do they do? And he goes, oh, I'll send you an email with all the details once I get this back. And I read the email, and it's just like a personal email from a Gmail somewhere that was like, please give us your name and your address and your social security number. And and I sent back, I was like, this is not an official government form on a website at all. I'll be happy to supply my social security number at the time of hiring as part of my official paperwork. You know, let me know why you need my address and that kind of stuff. I'll be happy to fill out any government issued background check forms, that kind of stuff, and never heard from them back. Mm-hmm. Like, that's spooky as fuck.
Mm-hmm. I mean, dear scammers, if you're gonna try to scam, buying a domain is like fucking $15 a year.
Yeah.
Seriously, learn a little bit of professional look.
Well, all right. What was the one? There was the one that was sent to the company where James and I used to work together. There was an email sent to my company email address, and it was like, yeah, click this link. And if you hovered over the link, like, and the URL popped up, like, it was like scam.something. It was like, you're not even trying, are you?
I appreciate the honesty.
You are
though.
Not even like... fucking trying. Like, you had to hover over it to see that URL because mm-hmm. the link didn't have that in there, but it was like, it's right there.
Well, the other thing is sometimes places will hire security companies to test their users.
Oh, absolutely. But it was just so funny because I was like, this is the worst.
What do you call it? Opportunity dot whatever. Come on, buddy. Get on
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, opportunity.scam.org.
I wonder if scam.org is a thing. I need to look this
hold
up.
Hold on.
Or scam.edu, because you're offering those people who get scammed an education.
Yes.
You send their money back with a note that says, I could have kept this.
Isn't that the plot of Sneakers?
Yes. I'm so glad you know this movie. I love this movie so much.
What do you mean? Of course I know this movie. This movie's amazing.
I know that it's an amazing movie, but you are the first person I've spoken to who has also seen that film.
Okay.
I feel like I've heard of it. I just haven't seen it.
Scam.org took too long to respond.
They're probably waiting for somebody to, like, crank the dynamo to run the server.
Ooh, and hold on. Scam.edu. Scam.edu's server IP could not be found.
That means somebody owned it, but they haven't hooked it up. Yeah. That's annoying. Anyway, tangent, but not quite. I did a show tonight.
Scam.com is a scam reporting website. So.
So I did a show tonight on for an Encyclopedia show, and the topic was medical quackery.
Have you
really
been,
apropos?
Have you been to the Science Museum? Display.
Actually, here's what I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
At the inside at Strike Theater, the Facebook page for Strike Theater, you can go watch the recording that was done of this show. Mm-hmm. Matthew Kesson did a presentation that was not Monster Science, but was instead on the stuff that you're talking about. I believe some of the stuff that was taken from like another museum, and he sat at that other museum, and he talked about like basically tasing a friend of his. So yeah, go watch that Strike Theater Facebook page. You can watch Kesson's thing. You can also hear how I used to work for a company, albeit briefly, that did marketing for products that were basically supplements of an unsavory nature.
Ooh.
So yeah,
did they make a certain part of your anatomy bigger?
No.
Not that unsavory.
It was marketing. Well, I don't know. There may have been
smaller.
Some of that. But
Oranger.
It was the company that I worked for was a marketing company.
Oh.
So it wasn't their products.
Yeah.
They marketed other products.
Yeah.
Some of which, many of which, were not.
The whole marketing world is just.
Yeah.
No, so the science.
Hey, as somebody that's been a marketing director and worked in marketing, mild offense at that.
Nothing personal. nothing personal. But the marketing world is just disgusting.
I dare you to tell that to our marketing people for Fearless.
Okay, I will. I'll be like, look, nothing personal. What you do is disgusting.
Oh God!
In so many ways,
huh?
It's true.
I feel like there's
I have to do marketing for Casimir by myself, and I hate it. I fucking hate it. It rips my soul out whenever I have to do it because it's gross.
That's just because your product is gross, honey.
Yes.
It is. It literally makes me gag.
Uh-huh. I'm okay with that. I've made peace with that. That is a kind of gross
I'm
okay with.
It's an iron supplement.
That is a kind of gross I am okay with. But marketing is just...
Yeah, I do not like promoting my own stuff. I'm really fucking bad at it. But I love promoting other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something about being like, oh my God... Have you guys seen Casimir? He swallows fucking everything, and it's gross but incredible, and it's educational at the same time. You learn an awful lot about what's going on with your body when he's doing this yeah. presentational show. And also the funnel thing, are you fucking kidding me?
It's like Mr. Goodbody with swords.
So like Like, I'm really good at talking about the amazingness of other people's stuff.
Hmm.
I told a story tonight about medical quackery, and it was okay. Like that, right?
I
did, however, plug AON, so, you know.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You're welcome, asshole.
I really like the advertisements for, like, old-timey products. When I was a younger man and dinosaurs roamed the earth, I used to go up to an island.
Okay, go first off, fuck you. You're the youngest person on this show.
Thank you, Salsa. Rarely do I thank you. However, in this instance...
When I used to go visit family friends up on Madeline Island, they had a ceramic pitcher that was embossed with what looked like the advertisements from the back of a Boy's Life.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in the Boy's Life, it's all the like comic book shit, the whoopee cushion, the fingerless gloves, you know, whatever, x-ray specs. But in this case, it was like 1900s medical quackery devices.
Yeah.
Like the atomized water, atomic enriched water cooler, the hero's belt that electrocutes your abs and chest. Mm-hmm. You can buy tapeworm pills to swallow as a supplement to help you to diet without exercise.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things. And it was incredibly fascinating. So my dad took me to a place that had a bunch of that stuff. And I think that's where a lot of the science museum equipment came from. And so I'm especially eager to hear Kesson talk about this. The Minneapolis Museum of Medical Quackery, which used to be over next to Nye's Polonaise room in the little mall over by Nye's Polonaise.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. The machine that x-rays your feet continuously so you can see how your shoes fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you will get tumors on your feet, so it will be difficult to find new shoes, but all of that stuff. But the ads for those are just incredible. I love that stuff. It's hilarious.
So the Science Museum of Minnesota has a bunch of that stuff now, and they have a lot of it on display in one area right now.
Yeah.
We took my kids to see it, and there's a chair that just vibrates. Like, it's this wooden chair on a vibrating platform, and it's supposed to aid in digestion.
that would help me, yes.
you're just supposed to sit on this chair and have it shake. And it's fun because it's you get to sit on it, and so my kids would sit on it and go, stuff like that.
Then they had to shit.
But are you familiar with I've talked about it at length, the British panel show QI?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
I'm a great fan.
QI is, it's called Quite Interesting, and it's one of these panel shows where everybody is super, super pedantic and hilarious. But it's all of these facts and information that you think you know, but you actually don't know. And it's great. One of the things they talked about that in their Q season, they talked about quackery. And they're talking about various quack medical devices. And they were like, here's a picture of this chair in a museum in Minnesota. And I was like, oh my god, that's the chair! Where's that? So a British panel show in England had a picture of that chair from a from Science Museum here in Minnesota. I thought that was cool as hell.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. The phrenology machine that they have, the one that is a little helmet that reads the bumps on your head and outputs a personality profile.
That wasn't working when we were there. I mean, it doesn't work ever.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't operational
Doing the thing when we were there.
I've never seen it working except for when I visited the Museum of Medical Quackery. It may even have been the same phrenology machine.
Probably.
The guy was so excited to show me, like, oh, yeah, it's absolutely full of shit. He told, you know, little 12-year-old me. He's like, oh, it's complete horse shit. Yeah, here, I'll put this on you. And sure enough, it just spits out the most bland personality metrics.
You will like little things.
Not if it was anything that specific. Like, you're an air breathing biped, you know, like it followed very much.
I'm just trying to picture, we're talking about how it's all bullshit and you're like, yeah, it spat out absolute nonsense when I was a kid. Like, someday I'm gonna take up fencing it. Oh shit.
I said I was going to be on a series of internet radio shows, which is weird. A weird prediction for a 1900s machine make.
So one of Yenna's earliest bits was fortune telling. Mm-hmm. And this is back when I was part of the very first year of Fantasy, actually.
Oh.
Remember this, actually.
Founding member. But one of my earliest bits for Yenna was fortune telling.
Uh-huh.
And it was, first I will start with your past. So, I am sensing that at some point in your life, you drank milk. I'm getting more. I'm sensing that at some point, you have or have had a mother. Yeah, you know, things like that. I'm getting something on future. Yes, I'm getting future prediction. So you will spend the day here in the village. You will have enjoyments and merriments. You will have a wonderful time. And at the end of the day, you will leave our village. You will get into your conveyance, your chariot, and you will be stuck in traffic for about 4 hours trying to go home. And I had somebody come back and was like, oh my God, you were right!
Oh, see, that would have ended with me saying, I am seeing in your future, you are going to meet a fortune teller, and you are going to tip her generously.
I do love what Bryn has done with her Armenian character, where she's like, I am seeing that you will there's something shiny in the hat, and then like a hat on a bald head or whatever, like things like that. Like, if she doesn't get the tip, like, it's a lovely out, and I love
certainly,
it.
Certainly, yeah.
It's really well done. But yeah, that was the days of early Yenna.
The bits that have been before.
But my love of those old timey medical quack ads has made me love things like the advertisements they include in BioShock.
Oh my God! Yes, BioShock Infinite.
Yes, in BioShock Infinite and in BioShock and like all of these weird false products and things like that, or in Fallout Nuka-Cola. I love it so much. And yum yum deviled eggs, and my daddy gets his, you know, like what he gets his Adam from the garden. Just amazing. It was so long ago since I played BioShock. But
for me,
yeah,
was just like the epitome of what could be in storytelling and video games. I never played it. I watched it being played. Mm-hmm. And there is so much world there to be had.
Yeah.
And you, as you continue in, like discovering more and more of that world, and then it just like, everything's happy and we're all talking like this and it's all kind of steampunk and we're having a good time, see? And then, like, it just gets darker and darker and darker. It's so beautiful the way they set it up. I've only seen some of the original BioShock stuff, and I was like, okay, like, I get how this is a good brain fuck, but it didn't, the world didn't start as full for me as I think BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love the idea that they built the original BioShock off of Randian, the means are justified by the ends.
You have to go see my talk.
Okay, I will. Okay, I will. All right. We all will. It'll be linked in the...
You have to watch this.
Okay.
You have to watch this. I think there's a joke that I had in there that I think just went by fucking everybody. Nobody commented on it. And I'm really hoping that, like, you catch it. I want somebody to catch this fucking joke and let me know that they caught it. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, I love advertisements for that kind of stuff. We're in television series when they're advertising something weird, or even when they did like Radio Shack advertisements in of a sort in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, there's just something sort of fond and glowy about it that I don't get from watching actual ads that are on my television.
Because marketing is gross.
It's like fantasy nostalgia.
It's like, one more time?
Fantasy advertisement nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, aw, these are the best things I remember about this thing that didn't happen. What?
Yeah. Also that.
Yes. Anyway. Salsa hates marketing. What have you been up to, James?
I made tiny quiches.
James I heard made about that tiny them. Something? What?
No, right, were they adorable?
They were real cute. I made them in the bottoms of muffin tins. So I handmade the dough so that I would have something to talk to Salsa about. I did a different thing than usual, which was to thoroughly mix the butter and the flour before putting any water in there, because gluten is the enemy of flaky, stratified pie crust.
It's true.
So I sat for like an hour and just because I didn't want to use the food processor. I kneaded the butter into the flour until it was like crumbly, and then
do you not have a dough knife?
No.
Oh, that would have saved you so much time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, or a mixer or something like. Sure, I'm couple, sure couple that
knives.
It would have.
Pair of knives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, if you don't have a dough knife, then two knives. Use two knives.
Oh.
They'll chop the butter up into small pieces for you, so you can integrate it into the
floor. Oh, I cut the butter into little cubes. That was no problem.
But to cut it into the flour.
Oh.
There's cutting and then there's cutting, James.
I see what you mean. All right.
When you're cutting the dough, the butter into the flour, use two knives.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Quick tangent and then back to you. But one of the reasons why Joe and I did the hand pies that we did is that in order to be able to maintain the shape and everything, a little extra kneading was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So it was still buttery, flaky, whatever, but it wasn't as flaky because we're trying to make sure everything stayed together.
Sure.
And Joe just does everything thoroughly.
Uh-huh.
So, like...
Congratulations.
Yeah. So anyway.
No, I completely understand that 100%. I usually I'm that way. Usually I'm more of a, like, I've got to have everything done. And learning that in some cases I have to just let it go is really hard.
Yeah, like the first time we tried to make a pie crust, it was not good. Like an actual flaky pie crust, not like a solid whatever. So that's one of the reasons why we went with hand pies. Anyway, back to your thing.
Yeah, these turned out a lot better once I discovered that I could take the little separate dough segments and put them into the bottom of, you know, the little ball of dough into the bottom of the muffin tin cup, and then grab a shot glass and use that to shape it around the sides.
This makes sense, yeah.
Of the muffin tin. It's perfect for it.
Did you keep the shot glass in the fridge?
No, that would have been a great idea, though.
That would have been a good idea.
No, I thought of it when I was, like, two or three of them into...
Yeah, because even the warmth of your hand will transfer into the glass of the shot glass.
Yep.
You were basically pinch-pying it, weren't you? Before the shot glass.
Yeah.
Oh, I was doing my best not to, like, knead it into the thing. So I would lay the little disc of dough that I had just pressed flat. I would knead the little, or not knead the little disc. I would lay it on there and then just push that in with my fingertips to meet the corner around it. But it was tearing and it was a pain in the ass. So I was ending up spending a lot more time shaping and working the dough as a result. Right. So I just figured it was a lot better to just grab a shot glass, and it worked. And then put ham, sautéed zucchini, and sautéed little cherry tomato bits in there, and poured the egg mixture over it, and then put melty cheese over the top, and then baked it until the cheese was golden brown.
Nice.
And then they popped right out of the little muffin tin and were crisp and flaky and
sounds good.
Full of ham and vegetables. Yeah. Yeah, the shepherd's pies that I made also turned out really well. I also used a muffin tin for the overflow of the shepherd's pie filling. Mm. And gave them little whipped mashed potato tops.
Yeah, that's what we do with leftovers from Thanksgiving. Is we do little.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah,
turkey pies in the muffin tin with cranberry and mashed potato and stuff like that.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah, my next project is baking biscuits with chicken, cream of mushroom soup, peas, and. A couple of other ingredients, some vegetables and things in there.
Chicken and biscuit bake.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. With actual round biscuits or with drop biscuits?
I'm going to be cutting round biscuits into quarters.
Okay.
And then divvying those out, like almost doing a pull apart, a tear away.
Sure. Yeah. No.
As the base.
Understand.
Yeah.
I prefer doing drop biscuits on that situation, but
sure,
to each their own, obviously.
Yeah.
But who's the expert in baking here, really? Salsa.
James? I'm not really
it's definitely
expert
salsa.
At all.
You have a greater degree of expertise.
I said here. Expert here.
Oh, Jenna.
No!
Here's the thing. My instinct here is to be humble and say not me, but my very next statement is I made soufflés this weekend, so perhaps
so get fucked. Get fucked.
God, I hate marketing. What? Anyway, continue, Salsa. You made soufflés?
Yes, I made cheddar and chive soufflé.
Oh.
And they were amazing. And I served them with a blood orange salad.
Dang.
With apple apple cider vinegar. Vinaigrette.
That sounds gorgeous.
It was real good.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm jealous. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Should we take a break at that point and let you just seethe for a while?
then maybe, yeah.
That's, yeah, I'm going to go smoke. I didn't before, but I need to now. I'm going
to go smoke. All right. That's important. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back, and then we'll talk about some other nonsense.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
I know, Salsa. I'm uncomfortable with this weird idea. For you. I know. It's okay. I have faith in your... I have hope in your abilities.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Afro Movement Podcast. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Jenna.
Wow.
James, talk about your thing.
Oh, okay. So in Animal Crossing, there's a mechanic where you buy turnips, very specifically turnips, on Sundays. And then
I already have a question. Why turnips?
It is the only thing that they sell for one day and one day only, and then the price fluctuates for the other 6 days of the week. You can only buy them on Sundays, and then you chart, or you are able to chart the price that they are offering on your island for those things.
Salsa?
For the other 6 days. And if you don't sell them within 7 days, they rot and you lose your investment.
I'm watching Salsa.
So Animal Crossing is a game where your sim is an animal.
Your sim is a person living among animals.
Okay, so you're a person living among animals and you're also a farmer?
You can be. You can plant crops and things like that, but that's not the point. You're buying whole raised ready turnips from...
So you're an investor.
Yeah. And you buy a certain number of them.
So this is an economics game?
Yes, built into Animal Crossing.
Like Tropico?
Not like Tropico.
Okay.
I don't know Tropico. It's,
it is very similar to playing an actual stock market game, like we did in grade school. You buy a certain number of shares, but instead of shares, it's turnips, and you only get to hang on to them for a maximum of 6.5 days because they go bad. And so you sell them, ideally, you buy them low, sell them high, and what we've discovered is that everybody's islands offer different prices for them. So you can take your turnips to someone else's island to sell them at a higher price, and
island hopping? What?
Yeah, you go to a friend's island.
People have islands?
Yeah.
There must be really good investors.
Yeah, that's like everybody's world.
Animal Crossing, that's your village. Yeah.
Oh, everybody gets an island? Hey, you get an island, and you get an island.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. So you start up the game, you build your island, and it's kind of, but the financial part of it is not at all like Tropico.
Okay.
Yeah. So ordinarily you would raise money to pay for your expansions to your house and things like that by catching bugs and fish and building things and selling those things. And it takes a long time, but you can play the stock market game that's built into it by buying turnips on Sunday and selling them the other 6 days. However, there is a substantial amount of risk to it, and the more you invest, the higher your risk is, of course, right? But if you have a bunch of friends who are also playing and their prices fluctuate differently... there is a much greater likelihood that someone will have a substantially better price during one of the 12 price periods of the week.
Question.
Yes.
So you have an island, and Britain has an island, and Tim has an island.
Yeah.
And your island happens to be giving the best price on turnips mm-hmm. on a particular day.
Yes.
So Bryn and Tim go to sell their turnips on your island.
Right.
To you. Are you putting out money on it, or is there some just kind of like random game mechanic where money floats into?
I can, but the primary thing is to sell them at a shop that is on everyone's island.
Okay,
at the shop, they offer different prices.
This is the question, though.
Yes.
You, as a player, are not purchasing these turnips that Bryn and Tim are selling on your island.
I have done that before, but that is not usual.
But it's not necessary. It's not a part of the thing.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So Tim goes to your island, sells a bunch of his fucking turnips at like $1,000 a turnip or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Tim's island, or the next Sunday, or the next whatever, mm-hmm. The next day, Tim's island is offering $1,000 for turnips. That's not coming out of Tim's pocket.
Correct.
Okay. That's the thing that I wanted to make sure was clear, because the economy here is fucked. I just wanted to verify that that's what's going on. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This isn't actual economy. This is the equivalent of science fiction pseudoscience economy.
Right. It's video game physics.
It's a monopoly bank that the money goes into and comes out of.
Kind of, yeah.
More or less, yeah. Got it.
Understood. So, okay. What we have discovered is that with a couple dozen people, what was originally, you know, 5 or 6 people who were repeatedly messaging me on a day-to-day basis saying, like, hey, you know, my turnips are worth this amount. Do you want to sell your turnips on my island today? Or, you know, mine is really low. What is yours at today? And I was just like, you know what? This is going to be so much easier if I just make a fucking Facebook group for it.
Right.
So now we have 50-something members.
Okay.
It's been a week, and we have 50-something members, which for me is a big deal. I know you two are wealthy with followers.
Pause. Let's be clear. The group that I made for like the Twin Cities virtual stage thing is at like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Jenna Young Productions, which has been up since like 2012, 2013, something like that, has exactly 62 members.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
But it feels amazing. I put up a post every day that just says, this is where you post today's morning and evening prices. And then everyone else seems to be really good at coordinating their shit. Posting high and low prices. If somebody has a major boom in prices, they're able to communicate with each other and set up arrangements to have people visit their island and sell their turnips, or, you know, buy their turnips if the price is really good on Sunday.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
So these islands, you can only visit them at certain times, right? Like the owner of the island, James, has to say, yes, people can come to my island right now.
Yes.
Okay.
And so one of the tenets of the group is that no one is time on someone else's island is never mandatory. It is always purely due to their graciousness as a host during the times that they specify for the people that they're willing to let on. And there is no requirement to enter the group that you allow a bunch of fucking strangers to wander around. But if you are willing to share your good fortune,
I really want to join this group and just say that they're giving exorbitant prices at my island, but
somebody did this, though.
Nobody's allowed.
What?
Somebody did something similar. What they did was to tell all of their friends in their office at one of these game review places. They were like, "Oh, they're selling them for, you know, $544, which is an enormous price. Usually they're like $70 or $80. Mm-hmm. Like, come to my island and sell all your stuff, right? And when people got there, they discovered that this person had set up a series of elaborate traps and obstacles to get to the shop that buys them, where the price was awful. So people were spending like 20 to 30 minutes navigating this maze of terribleness, while the owner of the island just stood outside the fenced area they had created, watching in amusement and mocking them.
For the first time since I've heard of this game, it sounds interesting.
That seems right.
This is why we're glad Salsa doesn't have a Switch.
But the cool thing about it is that because out of the 50-something members, someone during a week is not guaranteed, but is likely to have a really excellent price. People can buy turnips on Sunday, sell them when the price is really good, and not worry about it. And we try to take care of each other. Yeah.
Question. Buying turnips. You can only buy turnips on Sunday.
Yes. Sunday morning.
So Sunday morning you go to buy your turnips. Where are you buying these from?
You're buying them from a tiny pig named Daisy May, whose mother is a sow named Joan. So it's Sow Jones Stalk Market.
Oh my God.
I thought this was a little, I thought this was a Lil Abner reference at first.
No.
No,
it's the Sow Jones Stalk Market. And then Tom Nook, the mastermind behind all Animal Crossing ventures, his children, Timmy and Tommy, are the ones that buy the turnips the other 6 days.
So many questions.
It's just kind of thrilling to see that this is a bustling hive of activity.
How are you supposed
to
ever buy turnips if you're at church on Sunday morning?
Oh my God.
I assume you get up early?
Sunday morning, according to whom?
According to the time on your console. Now, if somebody wants to visit your island, their time has to match yours globally. So if your time is central and theirs is Pacific, their time has to be 2 hours behind yours. If your date and timestamp are, because you can fudge it, you can push it forward or backward. But if you do that, one, some bad things happen. Like your turnips will still rot. You can't keep them fresh by constantly moving into the past. Two, you can't force a new better price.
Hold on.
James already leaked five steps ahead.
No. Your turnips won't stay fresh no matter how much you jump to the past is possibly the most metal phrase you have ever said.
Yeah. All right.
This going into the past thing, are you changing the time on your console to fuck with the game?
Yes. Which people do. Like, if you're at a party on New Year's Eve...
But you have already jumped outside of game mechanics proper to talk about cheats within the game. I wanted to make sure that was summarized, as this is not the expected gameplay.
This is
outside.
Yeah. The people who made the game advertise this as a feature.
So
now we have metagaming. Great. Yeah.
So you buy it on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Console time.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, people who Japan have access to theirs first. I would assume.
But you wouldn't be able to buy and sell from them.
Because their
timestamp wouldn't line up with yours.
It would, as long as mine is set for central time and I'm the appropriate number of hours away.
Oh, right, because... Okay, I understand. Mm-hmm. I get it.
So, if, let's say it's Monday, and it went, okay. Oh shit, I forgot to get turnips on a Sunday. I set my console time back to Sunday. Uh-huh. So it's Sunday morning, and the pig is there, and yep. I buy my turnips. I yep. can then jump it forward to Monday to get a good deal on Tim's Island to sell these fucking turnips, because Tim happens to have... But it's all still in my time happening on Monday. But I can still jump back in time, buy some turnips, mm-hmm. then reset to Monday. Yes, the turnips have aged, but I don't care because it's a fucking day and I can go sell them on Tim's Island.
They may have aged more than one day. They may have aged like 2 days or more. I don't know.
Because it's still within a week.
For
it's sure.
It's still
within 6.5 days.
But yes, it's entirely possible. Yeah.
Okay.
So there is the possibility, and I think this is where they have things built in to protect this, to keep it from happening. There is the possibility that I'm seeing, based on what you're saying, that you could wait for a friend to have an amazing price.
Right.
Go back to the time when you would buy it.
Buy a shit ton of turnips.
Buy an absolute metric fuckload of turnips and then bring them to your friend's island by skipping forward. But I think that they would rot before that happens.
Even if it was like Sunday fucking afternoon.
I'm not sure about. I know you can't sell on Sunday for the whole day.
Mm. Oh.
But.
So is this.
But I think they have things built in to keep people from doing that.
Are these price points for selling? Oh, you can't sell on Sunday. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a key thing that we were missing up until about 30 seconds ago.
So
there's a lot going on in the price points on
various islands.
Sure.
Your own island, for example, the price point is that a set thing by day, or is that like if it's
every morning,
if it's
and
75
afternoon.
if I wake up mm-hmm. in the morning, it's Wednesday, yeah. and it's 75, yeah. and yes. I change my settings to say today is now Monday, is it still 75 or has it changed?
It would have been whatever it had been on Monday morning.
Okay, so your week is set.
I believe so. Yes.
So can you look every day in the future, 5 days, set it to Monday, set it to Tuesday, set it to Wednesday, set it to Thursday, see what the prices are going to be?
Possibly.
And then go back to today. Now I haven't bought anything yet, so they're not going to rot yet. But I know that on Thursday afternoon, the prices are going to be amazing.
I know that the people who designed the game understand that people do use their console time to time travel, and have ever since the GameCube, and they have been increasingly clever about making it difficult to maliciously shoulder your way
malicious.
In on things like that.
I'm not being mean to anyone else.
They allow a degree of cleverness, but I think they also... very wisely limit the degree of cleverness with which you can manipulate the system.
I love that neither Salsa or I are ever going to get a Switch or play this game, and yet we are looking at ways that we
cheat at this game. I think it's amazing.
To be fair, I might someday get a Switch, because Call of the Wild does look like a fun game. That having been said, Animal Crossing is a game I will never play.
Right, okay. That's fair.
Because it involves Facebook groups and watching stock prices.
It sounds like a job.
It really does. It really does.
The weird thing is, because of how difficult my job is, having a job that I can feel extremely competent at is kind of fucking relaxing right now.
Oh, that's just the job that I have.
Yeah, no,
right.
I concur with you.
If I was actually... as competent as Jenna, I'm sure I wouldn't be stressed out ever, but...
Oh, fuck that.
No, I actually had this conversation with my boss at my last, my last stand-up. Last face to face, one on one.
One on one.
That's the word I was looking for. One on one.
I know your corporate lingo. I'm jiggy with it.
Wow! Never to talk again.
Yeah.
No, in our last one, wow. You know, my boss was like, "So how are things going?" And the thing is I was hired a few months before this whole shit went down. Hold on a second. Yeah.
Godzilla.
House?
And so he was like, you know, how are things going? You know, stuff like that. And I was like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I feel completely useless. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I log in every day and I do the things that I know how to do, and that's about it. Because I didn't get enough training before we had to go home. And I do, you know, take things that look like I might be able to muddle my way through them, and I muddle my way through them, and every so often I get stuck and I ask questions, but there are so many things beyond what I am able to do right now. Like, the guy who was training me a few weeks before everything got shut down, basically, he said, you know, you're progressing nicely. I'm going to show you some more tools that we use in the next coming weeks. So I'm like, I know that there are tools that we use for our day-to-day job right now that I've never seen. You know, I know how to do a fraction of my job right now, and I feel really useless. And he's like, A, just to let you know, you're doing fine. You know, I've been keeping an eye on things. You're taking tickets. You're doing. I'm okay with where you're at. I'm not gonna fire you or anything like that. But he was like, I get it. I understand exactly where you're at. It's really unfortunate that you happened to get hired when you did, you know, just before all of this went down. But he was like, keep plugging away at it, keep trying. You know, we understand that your situation is what it is. But it's been really, really hard not feeling, because we've talked about this in the past. I've always been somebody who picks things up really quickly. Like, I learn, show me how to do something once, I'm like, okay, I think I can do that again. And this feeling of helplessness and, like, I'm an idiot who doesn't know how to do my job after I've been there for 6 months is a new thing for me.
Well, I mean, when I started my latest job, my latest position, you remember how I was like, well, I basically get to, like, build my job, right? I had a one-on-one, like, 3 months later with my boss, and he's like, so how's it going? You know, I'm like, here's the problem. Like, I love that I get to basically decide what it is that I'm doing. That's super cool. But I don't know what my goals are. I don't know what the expectations are. I don't have anything laid out for me to say, hey, you are meeting expectations. Like, we're going into this review. I don't know if I'm doing a good job because I don't actually know what my job is. Like, I'm just trying to make things happen. And he was like, well, that's your job. And I'm like, so I'm good? He's like, yeah, you're fine. I'm like, okay. Apparently my job is makes things happen, and I'm doing that, so yay? Like,
good on ya.
Yeah. But, like, I totally get that, especially, I mean, number one, it's hard when you're just starting a job and, like, You're trying to understand the expectations of that position. But then your position has this heightened, okay, but your training has now stopped. You don't have anything else you can really learn right now in the position that we're in. So you're just stuck at my 3 months of yay?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes, I'm doing all right. I'm meeting whatever expectations exist. Not that I know what those are. So great.
Yeah. This would be an incredibly rough time for your manager to do that old management game that's like, how would you rate your own performance?
Oh, I would give myself so many ones, it's not even funny. Because it's really been, like, I, not in my life, but in my work life, it's been really hard not getting demoralized and depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I really feel like I don't know shit. And I feel like I log in the morning and I poke around at things and I look at something for 45 minutes and then just kind of go, I don't fucking know what this is, and I do something else. Mm. And I waste a lot of time and I'm just like, I'm really kind of useless right now.
It's been hitting me really, really hard because this job is not just a promotion in title and finances and things like that, but it's actually a massive promotion in responsibilities as far as what I'm expected to know and operate. Mm-hmm. So like right now I'm learning SQL in order to navigate creating reporting structures for a system that manages our software, that manages our like how people use Outlook, that manages a bunch of different stuff.
Right.
And I have to be able to successfully create tables and queries and reports and things like that based off of SQL in order to interact successfully with that system if I want to add anything new to it and not just use what other people have already built. Mm-hmm. So that's got a lot of my focus, in addition to just, you know, doing things like looking through the inbox for my department. Because for the last 4 months, as somebody who's just learning this job, they were like, oh yeah, take care of the emails for us, that'll take the heat off of us, and it will also teach you who handles what things, and they can also help to teach you what they're doing to resolve those cases. You can watch those cases, you can discuss it with them, and you can even take some of those cases if you would like. And during my last one-on-one, I was like, I don't know, I just feel like I'm watching the inbox, taking care of the emails as they come in, and then working on these erstwhile projects. I don't feel productive. And my boss was like, they're not on the call with us, but I can tell you that that's a big fucking deal. Because otherwise one of them has to sit and goaltend the inbox. So you're taking that heat off of them. And by taking some of the easier cases and things like that, or even just doing the preliminary work on cases that you eventually hand off to them, you're learning something, which is what you're supposed to be doing this year. Mm-hmm. For the entire year. But also, this is, he's like, I don't expect you to be anywhere near up to speed even by month six. So you're doing great. But it's also ridiculously hard to measure, and I know that it feels shitty right now because you're trying to learn and you're not around anybody and you have to ask through chat and interrupt them and all of this stuff.
And so that's the other thing is like, obviously I can ask questions of people, but like, I don't want to sit there, you know, all day just constantly asking people questions and not letting them do their job. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like
to be fair, that is actually what my job is.
And if that's what your job is, awesome. But they've got other work to do. Like, they're doing the thing that I'm asking them a question about is something they could do in 5 minutes, but they're doing something hard right now.
Right.
And instead of walking me through it, you know, and so I do ask questions of people, you know, but instead of being able to just kind of poke somebody next to me and say, hey, what does this look weird to you, and having them look over at my screen and go, oh yeah, that should, you know, it's, you got to ping them, you got to like
Yeah.
Tell them where
set
to
go. Set up a thing where you can do a screen share.
Either that, or say, here's this load number and look at this column over here, and they've got to follow you through the whole thing. And it's just like, I feel so bad whenever I have to do that. And it's just...
I got to feel, for a brief shining moment during all of this, sublimely confident and capable in my job.
What's that like?
Unusual.
It's fucking wonderful, Salsa.
Yeah, Jenna can tell you.
I can tell you. It's great. Anyway, no, keep going, James.
Because a lot of people who are able to work from home but don't have work computers will need laptops and access to their desktops at work and that kind of stuff. We had to set up a workflow for getting a computer out to them or setting up their home computer to connect to their work and interacting with them on the phone. We had to have documentation that we would send them, documentation that we would follow. And so I ended up writing the documentation for that and then doing the first few pilot installs. And it was like being back on the helpline. I have more than 10 years of helpline experience helping people over the phone to do basic computer shit. And I just slipped right back into that. And at one point, somebody's appointment ran a little bit long because they had to pause in the middle to run and use the bathroom. And so at that point, I then had two people on the phone at the same time at different points in their installs with different problems asking different questions, and I was handling both of those at the same time and also guiding them through the documentation. And what my boss didn't know was that I was screen shared into a third person's computer to resolve their VPN problem because I'm one of two Mac experts. And it felt so fucking good because I felt really good at that job.
So I had a situation come up at work. Now that we're discussing tech jobs. So you guys know that I spent a lot of time doing project management.
Yeah.
Right. It's something I'm really good at. And I am a certified project management professional.
Pimp cert.
Yeah, my pimp cert. My pimp hand is anyway. So I'm now, but that's not what I've been doing really for the past year. I've been doing tech ops, and I'm more of an engineer type person, and I'm helping with like solutions analytics and client perspective stuff, whatever, blah blah blah. So I'm walking somebody through, like I get this guy that I'm walking through certain expectations that we have as we're onboarding this new client. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to me, and I actualize this guy isn't a technician. He's a project manager.
Oh.
Like, I'm in this call and I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't the guy that I need to be talking to about tech stuff. This guy is just trying to make sure that milestones are getting hit and that we have expectations set appropriately. And like, I automatically, and I'm in this call with this project manager client and my boss. And I automatically switch into project manager speak, where I'm like, okay, so here's, I understand you're looking for like these milestones to be hit and these goals to be obtained. And this is when we're talking about these security type things, this is usually the amount of effort that is put into this. And he was like, oh, so we're not talking like a month's deal. I'm like, no, we're talking like, he could probably get all of this cleaned up within a week if he has the time and the ability to focus on it. And he's like, oh, okay, now I understand the effort behind it. And like, when the manager is messaging me like, what did you just do? How did you do that?
And I'm like, what voodoo is this?
Yeah. So, but it was really interesting for me because up until the point that I understood that he wasn't, like, when I thought he was a technician and not a project manager, I was getting really frustrated at his questions.
Oh.
Like, why are you not meeting me on the engineering level, goddammit? And then as soon as I hit, oh, fuck, he's a project manager, I was able to communicate with him. And it was delightful. And my boss was there for it, and it was amazing.
Congratulations. So
that happened just today, and I am so happy about that. But that's one of those, oh, I have these other skills that I can tap into and this other perspective view that I can tap into. But I have to, right now, issue an apology to all of the technicians that I had been treating as a project manager when I was a project manager. I am sorry. That is not, you don't care about effort or milestones. You just want to know what's going to get it done. So this is my apology to you. If I have ever spoken to you in such a way that was like, yeah, but are you going to get this done on Friday? Like, yeah. Anyway, like, I was so frustrated with the questions this guy was asking up until I realized. I was like, oh, why are you asking me all these? Oh.
Yep.
Fuck, I've been that guy.
Code switching.
Any basically, last thoughts on this topic before we take a break?
I mean, I could bitch about being a chick in the tech industry, but I feel like I've done that a lot. So
that is a well-worn groove at this point.
Yeah. Just know that that's still an issue. So anyway.
I believe it. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
All right, let's do this thing. We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And this is a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
That's right. Everybody knows how this works. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Eric Thompson. Curse the French. This is a Fast Five that, oh, you know what? I'm not even going to give this an introduction because he does. Well, okay. I mean, he basically says what I was going to say. Eric says, I wrote this in 2015 and didn't send it because whatever. Here is a weird, dumb Fast Five.
Yes.
So here is a five-year-old Fast Five, so if this is referential in any way, shape, or form...
Oh, my God.
Well, all right.
Holy shit, there... Okay,
all
okay,
answers
this,
are turpitude.
Okay, this will be good. Okay, here we go.
I am over it. Wait, 2015,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, James, when did you join?
2017?
Yeah, no.
I really want one of the questions to be Salsa or Matt.
This, there might... Okay, no, actually, he listened before.
Turbo dog.
Ooh.
Oh.
Never had a turbo dog theme, but I'm fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, question number one.
Thank you.
Eggplant or spaghetti squash?
Eggplant parmesan.
Eggplant, because it is also known as an aubergine, which is my favorite color.
I would argue that an aubergine is also known as an eggplant, but that's beside the point.
Oh.
Rene Aubergine is one of my favorite Star Trek actors.
For that reason alone, James, I'm going with spaghetti squash. For the terrible, terrible joke you just tried to make there.
No, you know what? Eggplant. I'm going with eggplant because in my freezer there is, I believe it belongs to Bryn. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is other than eggplant something or other that came in a packaged box that exists in my freezer. And I haven't eaten them yet, but I'm curious. And I might do it anyway because they've been in my freezer for fucking forever. I don't know what to do with them, but I'm going eggplant.
I'm actually going to go with eggplant because I like squash, but spaghetti squash often replaces spaghetti. And if you're going to replace spaghetti, don't, because spaghetti is better.
Right.
And agreed. Baba ganoush is tasty.
That's fair.
I'm going with eggplant because in the Battle of the Sexes board game, which is awful, yes, exactly fair. Like that. The questions are either sublimely easy for anyone with any culture, or they are unbelievably hard for both teams. So, we just, for the ones that were impossible, we just started answering them eggplant and noticed that we got a fair number of them right by answering them that way.
Fair enough.
Okay. I'm actually going eggplant because it's not baba ganoush, but Joe does make an incredible eggplant dip.
Mm. oh no, James. James, wait.
Question number two. 6 weeks, God damn it.
Question number two. Dodge right. Ram. James, that's your moment. Oh no, Jenna's got it. Never mind. Or Ford Mustang.
Ram.
The Mustang. The Shelby Cobra is a glorious, incredibly sexy vehicle. I've never seen anybody do anything that amazing with a Dodge Ram.
I'm going with a Dodge Ram because of Ram, but not because of Ram. Because of random access memory.
Ah.
My daughter is in the process of building her first computer.
Aww.
Nice.
I am so proud. I gave her a budget things she could purchase, and she's been looking for things outside of that budget and all the rest of this. But she got herself some swank ass RAM.
Nice.
So what, I'm going
by Dodge.
Huh?
James, are you applying lube right now?
Yes.
To his forearms.
How yes. deep are you gonna go?
James.
No, deep. I got a sunburn from being outside for an hour and a half on Sunday.
Huh?
So this is not lube, it's aloe.
What kind of pale ass skin do you have?
I'm painfully ginger. Yes.
My instinct.
Please do not use aloe lube.
My instinct is to go with Dodge Ram just because of the dirty pun.
Yeah.
But I am going to go with Ford Mustang.
Because of the dirty pun?
I almost dated a girl in high school who had a Mustang convertible.
Ooh.
It was one of those. I was too scared to actually ask her out, and by the time I actually got up the nerve to ask her, it was too late. She had started dating someone else.
But that's really sweet.
But she had this yellow Mustang convertible that, oh, it was nice. She was pretty nice, too. Anyway.
But yeah, I'm going Ram.
Cool. Question number three.
Woo.
Ming vase or Pharaoh's tomb? I'm gonna. You know, in 2015, this was fairly innocent. In 2020, Pharaoh's tomb is like, fuck it, close it! Close it!
I'm going to say the context is, which would you be more afraid to fuck up?
Oh.
And I'm going to go with Ming Vaz. Because I can't afford that shit, but a mummy's curse? Eh. At this point, I'm in the middle of a plague already. I'm sure locusts are on their way. fuck it. But I can't afford to break that vase. Are you kidding me?
Have you all seen the artist who was smashing Ming vases?
No. What?
No, but I have anxiety just thinking about it.
Yeah. So there's, no, that's
there's,
awful.
There's like a, no, he's like a Chinese artist, and he was smashing Ming vases. Basically, and his whole like point was Ming vases are like, ooh, now, but in the Ming Dynasty, they were just called vases.
Right.
And that the only reason they are given any importance or value now is reasons? And he was kind of, like, his whole art piece was basically saying, these are vases. People from long ago just said, this isn't an art piece, this is a fucking vase. And that's all it is. Yeah.
Sure. I disagree, but I understand his point.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I also didn't read too much. It was something that came across my field of vision at some point, and I didn't really delve into it. But
sure. Wholeheartedly disagree with that artist's sentiment, but good on them for making a bold statement, I guess.
That is what the point of art is. I mean,
I'm going to say Pharaoh's Tomb because I have gone to a number of exhibits regarding Egyptology and seen a number of artifacts and found that super interesting. But a Ming vase is just a vase. It doesn't tell you anything about the time period in the way that a tomb would.
I'm going to say the context is, which would I rather have in my living room? And I think the obvious answer is a Pharaoh's Tomb.
Yeah, you can swallow a lot more things.
Oh, yeah. Especially if there's, like, honey in there.
I'm still going with Ming Vaz.
All right. Question number 4. Sitting duck or wild goose chase?
Huh.
Which is the better cocktail drink? And I'm going to go with wild goose chase.
Shit. I don't know what goes into a wild goose chase, but I would drink that.
Grey Goose, obviously.
Obviously,
I mean, yes,
yeah.
But...
But what else? But
a beer chaser.
Is it?
And I'm drinking it. No, not a beer chaser. Fuck you.
I'm sorry. It's called a wild goose chase. There's going to be Grey Goose and a beer chaser.
God. It doesn't have to be a beer chaser. It can be a chaser.
No, it's probably a beer chaser.
It's probably a beer chaser.
I'm angry about the fact that it's right.
Now I want a wild goose chase. I love stories that are just like pell-mell action. Like in my own life, heist movies. Like when the sandwiches arrived at Con and there was an elaborate scheme to be first in line. Functionally, yes, it was terribly exciting.
It was a combination between Benny Hill and Mission Impossible.
Yes.
So it was
yes,
like,
exactly. Yeah, it was like Mission Impossible, but everybody's popping in and out of doors, followed by policemen and then people
yeah,
in their
and,
underwear.
Yeah, and just one running around with your pants around your ankles and.
Yeah.
Sexy policeman. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to go with Wild Goose Chase, and my reasons are my own.
Okay.
Oh. Whoa. All right.
I'm going to say Wild Goose Chase is probably the better cocktail name, but since it probably does involve a chaser, I am going with Sitting Duck.
All right.
Because what am I going to do with a beer chaser?
Chase it down the sink.
Throw it?
hand it to one of you guys, probably.
Yeah.
Well, then I really hope you choose that one, too. All right. Question number 5. Turbo Dog.
Yay, Turbo Dog!
Or Honeytown.
What happened?
Oh, man. Honeytown.
Or Honeytown.
Oh,
no, look.
Fuck.
I'm sorry. I love Honeytown. But Turbo Dog, man.
Turbo Dog.
You can't top Turbo Dog.
Turbo Dog, motherfuckers.
He's motherfucking Turbo Dog.
Yeah, before this even started, I said Turbo Dog.
I know,
so I gotta stick with it.
And I lost my mind because I was like, oh, this is coming.
Yeah,
oh,
it's got it. Honeytown was fucking amazing. Turbo Dog.
Look, Honeytown is near and dear to my heart, but Turbo Dog.
I can never hear Nick Glover enunciate anything without hearing him as Mo from Honeytown doing his newscaster voice, but Turbo Dog.
I'm Turbo Dog.
Yeah.
All right. Now we open up the second email, and we have Eric writes, I don't know why I didn't send it, but here you go. Question number 1. Eggplant or spaghetti squash? What's the better sex position?
Eggplant. Spaghetti squash sounds gross. What? Or violent?
No, I'm sorry. Eggplant is impregnation. Spaghetti squash is where you smash your noodle into someone.
Yeah, all right. Well, okay.
I wasn't considering it before,
but now I am.
All right, so spaghetti squash, I'm going to say, is a bit more romantic. It's got more of that.
I'm sorry. It's got the word squash in it, and it's more romantic.
Because it has more of the Italian overtones, as if you just took somebody out for a romantic Italian dinner of spaghetti.
When the moon hits your eye like a big spaghetti squash position.
That's amore.
something.
However, let me finish.
Je t'aime mon amour, how about we squash?
Let me finish. Spaghetti squash has the Italian undertone, and therefore have more romance about it. Whereas eggplant is where you plant your eggplant, and you're just fucking. It's more earthy. It's more get her done. This is my take on it, and with that take, I'm gonna say.
I still say spaghetti squash is where you smash your noodle into something.
No.
And eggplant is where you stick your testicles in her.
What?
I'm still going spaghetti squash then.
Yeah, then in that case, I'm definitely going with spaghetti squash.
No, I'm absolutely going with spaghetti squash personally.
Jesus.
All right,
we all have different reasons, but we've come to the same conclusion.
Sure.
I guess I'm okay with that.
Question number 2. Dodge Ram or Ford Mustang? What's the better sex position?
oh, it's definitely a Dodge Ram.
Well, because if it's in the 1980s, a Ford Mustang is just a four-banger.
Nobody has sex in the 1980s, James.
Nope, that didn't happen.
We were all children.
Here's the thing. The RAM, if it was just RAM, I'd say okay. But it's Dodge RAM. You're actively avoiding it. You're dodging it.
I'm going to say it's more teasing.
Ooh.
Right.
Okay, Dodge RAM. Dodge RAM is the correct answer.
Dodge RAM. Dodge RAM.
That's my mistake. Okay. Well pointed. All right.
I think because the thing is the Mustang, you're just going at it like a stallion. But I think you're right. A Dodge Ram, a Dodge Ram just makes me think of like Pin the Tail or something like that, where she's moving and you're just trying to hit the right mark.
The Ford Mustang, in the words of Harry Belafonte, you jump in the saddle, hold on to the bridle. Not familiar. Yeah, jump in the line, rock your body in time.
Question number three. A Ming vase or Pharaoh's tomb? What is the better sex position?
Ming vase sounds very lesbian. Pharaoh's tomb sounds very dyke. I know neither of you guys understand this because you have none of the appropriate anything for this background.
Sure.
No, I was with you on Ming vase sounds very lesbian. But I was going to say Pharaoh's tomb sounds like very in the butt.
It's in the butt while on the beach, that there's sand involved.
No, a Ming vase is something that is very lipstick lesbian, very the very caressy, genteel.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Nice kind of a thing.
Femi.
The Pharaoh's tomb. Probably involves fisting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So I'm not saying butt stuff. Like, I don't think it's butt stuff.
No, I think butt stuff is not necessarily, but fisting was also a very good indicator of what I was talking about. Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
So I'm gonna say in general Ming vase. The more intimate kind of whatever, as opposed to the heartier.
I'm going to say James was lubing up his arm earlier, so he's probably into a Pharaoh's tomb.
No, that's fair.
I am ready to go down to the beach and engage in a Pharaoh's tomb.
I think Pharaoh's tomb for myself. I think there's
or receiving.
With Pharaoh's tomb, you got to get deep underground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta find where the treasure's buried.
Yeah.
Look, you need again, this is another Por que no los dos.
You need to do some excavating.
yeah. I think excavation is really the key term.
Yeah.
Gonna need a team of pack animals with a harness.
And James
Salsa,
made it weird.
I know
weird.
You're not going to believe this. Salsa, I know you're not going to believe this, but James took it to a weird place.
I know. Like, we were happy. We were just wrapping it up, and then James made it weird.
Good. Yeah, and then James just,
Well, all right.
Anyway, Ming vase.
Question number four, sitting duck or wild goose chase? Ooh. What is the better sex position?
Oh. Wild goose chase.
I think wild goose chase.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like a sitting duck just sounds.
I think we all know what it sounds action. Like. Yeah.
it sounds without action. It's just sitting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's sitting and it's a duck.
Although I think it wild is goose still chase. Not a fist.
Yeah, but geese have a bill too.
That's true. No, wild goose
they
chase.
They are cobra chickens.
It is wild goose chase, clearly.
I just, oh god, visual joke, but I'm just picturing Legos.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Cobra Chicken.
No. Goose chase goes through every room in the house, and you're
That
seems like the kind of sex that starts as a tickling fight.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, question number 5.
I haven't seen Joe in 6 weeks, you guys.
I'm so sorry. Question number 5, Turbo
Does
Dog.
This help?
No. In fact, well, I mean, it helps, but probably not in the way you were intending.
Everybody, James just showed his nipples, by the way. Question number 5.
For those of you playing at home,
Turbo Dog or Honeytown?
Honeytown!
God. What is a better sex position?
Honeytown.
Honeytown.
Sorry. Honeytown.
I was wrong. Honeytown.
Honeytown.
Shoulder deep.
Yeah.
Honeytown.
Honeytown.
Both feet first.
Oh, God.
It's magical how he can make the most innocuous thing weird.
Nope. It's Honeytown. Because look. Well, okay. Again, this is kind of a por que no los dos. However, sometimes you just want a turbo dogging.
Absolutely. I feel like a good old turbo dogging is
every once in a while you want a good turbo dogging.
Yeah.
But a Honeytown. I mean,
yeah.
Honeytown.
When you've got that time.
Yeah.
See, the thing is I have kids right now.
Oh, so all you do is turbo dog.
So
turbo
dog is all I've got.
No, I remember that age. Yeah, that's pretty much all you can do.
Some of my fonder memories are like the turbo dog in the back of the car parked someplace we're pretty sure that people aren't going to look. But a good Honeytown, that could be
I hate
valued
to tell you
for the
this,
rest
James,
of your life.
But a lot of people look in the back of your car.
Not anymore.
Thank you so much to Eric for sending in that Fast 5. Woo! If you would like to send in a Fast 5, send 2 emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Send the first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one, read those choices and then give us the context. That was our last active Fast 5, so if you don't give us another one by next week, we won't have any. So do that thing. Who has something? Oh, no, wait.
Then I will have to write one.
I know, and nobody likes that. So, who would like to do a shout-out?
I have a shout-out.
Do it.
It's going to be weird. You won't hear it often. However, I have a shout-out for Mr. Tim Wick.
Whoa.
Oh.
I know, right? Here's the thing. So I've been sick with the Schrodinger's Rona for several weeks. Mm-hmm. Tim Wick has, throughout the course of this stay-at-home quarantine, lockdown, whatever you want to call it, been asking people, how can I help today? And number one, just seeing his how can I help you today is just, it warms my heart every time. It's kind of like the look for the helpers type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also during that time, Tim Wick has delivered to me cookies. Like he just left them on my porch. Like I've got the airlock porch. So he's delivered cookies that I demanded because of reasons I don't even remember anymore, but they were delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And he also delivered to me deviled eggs.
Nice.
Oh, whoa.
I know. Like, and this was one of those, like, he was talking about making deviled eggs, and I was like, I like deviled eggs. And he's like, well, I'm the only person that produces them. And I was like, I like deviled eggs. And he was like, yeah, I always end up making too many. And I was like, Tim, deviled eggs. and then he delivered deviled eggs to me. And aww. I gave one of them to Jessa because I'm not a horrible mom. And she was like, eh, because she's still in her teens, technically. And then I ate the rest of them, and they were amazing. So,
yeah.
But here's the thing. And this is the bigger thing I want to get to is that it's the little things during this time period, right? Like, sometimes somebody just taking that extra step to go to their way to deliver a little thing can mean the fucking world to you.
Yeah.
So the shout out is very specifically for Tim Wick, but also to include those that have been doing the little things that,
like, my wife. Yeah.
God damn it. Doing the little things that might not seem like a big deal, but are really just that kind, that level of compassion and normalcy that somebody needs.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, yeah, my shout out is to Tim Wick and beyond.
James?
My shout out is to Samantha Crossland, who makes clothing and all of these things. Just following her Facebook feed is so encouraging and so eye-opening. In addition to her being enormously talented in clothing design and fashion, she's also just a stellar human being, and it really does help to restore some of my faith in humanity to read the things that she has to say. So, my shout out is to Samantha Crossland.
I don't know who to give my shout out to this week.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
No, I don't want the police to get you into trouble.
No, it...
If you would like, you can give multiple.
It's not... I kind of have the opposite problem. Like, I feel like I've already thanked everybody kind that needed to be thanked. You know, like, I feel like I don't have... I don't know. Let me think about it while everybody has something to plug. Go ahead and plug.
All right.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because of the leg. It doesn't work because of the leg. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. James, you're done. Okay, I have things to plug. So shut your whore mouth. So, for those that were unable to attend, I did do a show earlier this evening. It was the Encyclopedia show. The Monday night one is on medicinal quackery or medical quackery. And so you can actually go see that show at the Strike Theater Facebook page. However, depending on when we get this up, Wednesday evening, you can also on the Strike Theater Facebook page see Encyclopedia show based on space. And I will be performing in that one as well. They also have one on Tuesday. It's something about clocks. I don't know. Whatever. So go to the Strike Theater Facebook page. There is, and I'm going to expand this out a little bit, Give MN is doing their stay-at-home Give MN fundraising thing this week, and there are many, 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 many nonprofits that can benefit from donations during this week. There's Strike, I believe Huge has a thing, Phoenix Theater, Mounds Theater, Fearless has a thing. There are just so many different nonprofits that are able to benefit this week. In fact, Encyclopedia Show has been doing our shows as a portion of the of the Give MN Stay at Home Week in conjunction with Strike Theater, and because of our efforts, we raised some money. And Strike Theater got one of the golden tickets. So they got an additional amount of money because we were raising funds for them. So, Encyclopedia Show, go check it out. There's another one Tuesday and another one Wednesday. I'll be in the Wednesday one talking about space. I'm doing a poem, which I haven't done in a while, so that'll be exciting. Wow. I know. Oh, this is epic. I'm so excited for this. But they are looking for donations as well. You can see the show regardless. However, if you have a little extra cash to throw around, not everybody does right now. I get it. Don't worry about it. No pressure. But if you're one of the few that does, give MN, and many, many nonprofits are trying to get by during this time. So find somebody and throw money at them if you got it.
Yeah. I'm going to plug Vilten this Friday. There is a short Vilten match happening, and that's very exciting.
Nice.
Anything else to say?
Butts.
In that case, thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Eric for sending in a Fast Five.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. And as always, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.